Hey everybody, it's episode 331 of PodQuest.
Hey!
It's Wednesday, December 23rd, 2020. I am Chris, with me is Walnut.
Hello.
Drewton.
You did them backwards.
I did. Backwards, huh?
Backwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
I burnt my tongue earlier, so...
It's the last 2 weeks of 2020. Shit's gonna be weird.
So, we're 2 days away from Christmas, so Merry Christmas to anyone that celebrates that. Happy Wednesday to anyone that doesn't, or Thursday or Friday, whatever day. Happy day of the week that you're listening to this.
Yeah.
It's, I don't even know anymore. I just don't know.
It's been some time.
Yeah, honestly, like, this is one of those weeks where, like, I'm not even really sure how to, like, banter for the first few minutes, especially considering we were talking about a bunch of bummer stuff a minute ago.
Yeah.
But so, let's just keep on with the bummer stuff. Cyberpunk 2077 got pulled from PSN.
Yeah.
From all PSN, right? Not just the PS4?
Yeah.
Like, it's right. Everything?
I don't think Sony has a real good separation of them at the moment to easily do that, and there isn't really a PS5 version of the game yet.
Yeah, yeah. The next-gen version isn't out, so the only version, that bad version.
Yeah, so while that version apparently does work fine on a PS5, rather than take the chances, they just removed it from sale. And then just to round everything to do with this up, they're offering refunds if you did purchase it, which is rare, because usually Sony's policy, if I remember correctly, is if you
purchase, couple of hours.
If you purchase it, you can refund it. If you download it, you can't. So
I thought it was like X number of hours played or that might be Xbox.
No, that's Steam.
Oh, that's Steam. Okay.
Steam has the best refund policy as far as like being able to refund a game. It's a little sketchy when it comes to certain games, because if it's like a short experience game, people have been known to beat those and then try and do a refund for it.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so Sony's offering digital refunds. Best Buy and GameStop are taking back physical copies, even if they're opened.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox, I don't believe, removed it from purchase because like their game is just backwards compatible, like pretty clearly. But they do have a warning if you go onto the store to try and purchase it that it will not run well on an Xbox One.
Yeah.
And they point out something. I forget the exact wording. I should have taken this, but it was something along the lines of like, this game has performance issues on Xbox One. Purchase at your own risk until this game is patched.
Yeah. Kwame, he got it at launch, not knowing that there was going to be the issues, and he only has a PS4. He went to go return it yesterday at GameStop, and because, he didn't know there was going to be issues, he ended up throwing away the receipt. And so he didn't have the receipt, so they had to look it up, and he was there for about 2 hours trying to get this refund, and he still hasn't gotten it yet.
Damn.
Yeah, that's rough.
But it was a combination of the person at GameStop was also dealing with an asshole who, like, was complaining that their version wasn't working on their PS5 or something. I don't, like, they bought, like, a Call of Duty and it wasn't working on the PS5, but they didn't buy the upgrade version, so, like, it was working on the PS5, it just wasn't the PS5 version or something.
Yeah, because Call of Duty, you had to buy, like, the upgraded version to get the PS4 and PS5 upgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this whole thing is just a huge mess. Like, a lot of it falls on CD Projekt Red for releasing this game.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, games need to stop having release dates until they are 100% ready.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't tell us when the game's coming out until you know it's done. And by done, I mean, like, it like not just gone gold, because we saw like this game went gold in October. It needs to be like 100% finished, play tested. Like, yeah, maybe you're gonna patch it a couple more times before it officially releases, but like no major bugs or issues found on any hardware it is supposed to.
Like, it really makes me wonder, like, why they released this. What, like, did they know about these issues before release?
They had to have. Like, there's no. So they didn't release console versions for reviews. They only let people play the PC version of the game and had a very strict embargo.
Yeah, and the PC version runs fine, right? It's not as glitchy and everything.
Like, air quotes, fine.
Yeah, not as glitchy. Definitely playable, unlike the console.
But
it's
the reviews editor for GameSpot. She got a bunch of flack from people because she didn't beat the game because she had a game-breaking bug at the end of the game and literally could not finish it. And then, like, really? Yeah, and then people shit all over her for not playing the game when she played more than 50 hours of it.
Well, that's also because she's a woman.
Yeah.
So,
But if you also remember, the people bitching about this game the most vehemently are also the same pieces of shit that sent this publisher death threats 2 months ago when the game got delayed to make it playable.
Yeah, like...
So, like...
It's just insane. Like, you can't release a broken product. No matter how much of a demand there is, you cannot release a known broken product. Like, we mock Bethesda because that's what they fucking do. But, like... And, like, sometimes you're like, oh, well, it's a Bethesda game. You, like, give it the excuse because it's a Bethesda game. It's going to be broken. But like you said, we can't accept that anymore.
Yeah.
Look, we cannot accept.
This is the third fundamentally broken game released in as many. Because you had Anthem, and then you had Fallout 76, and now you have this.
But, like, yeah. Well, yeah, then this is. And, like, some people are even kind of comparing it to Avengers, where I'm like, Avengers wasn't even this bad. Avengers was not this broken when it was released.
That's a bad comparison. But,
yeah.
So, here's the thing, and, like, again, I think CD Projekt Red fucked up real bad with this, but, like, the discourse around this, Pace Magazine put up an article about it, and their tweet for it, Cyberpunk 2077's multiple failures sum up everything wrong with the video game industry. It's the game of the year in the same way Hitler was Time's Man of the Year.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with the person that wrote this?
Wow.
Even Cory Barlog, the I want to say he's creative director of Sony Santa Monica. He, like, responded to it. He's like, this is everything wrong about this industry. And then we are literally fucking eating each other for clicks and cash. I honestly have no idea why the hell we bother. And it's like, that is the most... Honestly, that headline is offensive in so many ways.
You can't compare fucking a video game to fucking Hitler. Like...
This is the one time that argument, actually, I disagree with. Like saying that this game is the game of the year, comparing it to when legitimately Time Magazine made Hitler Man of the Year. Like, that's not, like, a made-up thing. That happened. Like, is it a bit extreme? Yes. Is it wrong? No.
But, like, who's saying this is game of the year?
It was hyped to be game of the year, though. That's the problem, is it was so overhyped. That it was supposed to be, like, the number one game everyone's gonna love and get, and it's gonna be beautiful and perfect, and Keanu Reeves is on it. Like, it was supposed to be game of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and that's the thing, if there was still a vocal enough group saying that this was actually game of the year, and they weren't just, like, the PC diehard piece of shit people that were also the same ones sending the death threats... It'd be a different story, but, like, there's no reputable outlet calling this game of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hell, IGN released two different reviews for it. One of them that gave it, like, an 8 or a 9 on PC, and the other one gave it a 4 on console and said, stay the fuck away.
Right, but, I mean, to Richie's point, if this game had come out not busted in October, probably wins game of the year for moment.
Probably, you're right, but, again, like, not busted.
I think, like, the state the PC version is in, if it came out in October and the console versions were 70% the same amount of broken, still wins gaming.
I don't...
On sheer hype alone.
I don't know about that. I'm not disagreeing entirely, but there's enough people... Like, the PC version, like, reviewed well, like, from, like, the metrics that are used to review a game. But, like, when you actually sit down and listen to people talk about the game, even people that reviewed it well, like, they enjoyed it. But they're not, like, on it the way they would have been on, like, The Last of Us or Ghost of Tsushima or any of the other, like, real contenders for Game of the Year. Also, just quick side note, just because you'll care about this. Pretty sure IGN named Hades Game of the Year.
I believe they did. So did the McElroy's podcast, The Besties. They also gave it.
Oh, that's cool.
I was actually playing it before we recorded because that game's still fucking...
It looks really cool. And, like, someday when it's got, like, a real good sale, I will probably pick it up and enjoy it for, like, 20 minutes and then realize I'm real bad at it and never play it again.
Speaking of good sale, Phoenix Rising's on a sale on Switch for $40. I might pick that up.
I think 40 is too much. I think there are better games you could pick up than that one. I also don't know how... Look in to see how well it runs on Switch, to be honest with you. it was a pretty big open game, like when I played it, like the Stadia demo. And I feel like it's one of those games that just might not play great on Switch, particularly in handheld mode.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't play Switch handheld mode as much.
Oh, see, for some reason I thought you did, and I thought you played Switch handheld while you watched TV.
No. If I'm playing, like, Animal Crossing or Pokemon, yes. Anything else, it stays connected to the TV.
I'd still just double check that, like, it doesn't have any, like, egregious performance. Because, like, it was a pretty open, like, lot of stuff kind of going on in the distance, sort of. And I could see the Switch just not handling that well. Kind of the way it didn't handle Bloodstained very well.
Hades is on sale on the Switch for $20. You should buy Hades instead of a Mixed Rising.
I mean, I might buy both.
I was going to say, buy both. That's the cost of one game.
I mean, the thing is, right now, I'm just straight up waiting for Friday to buy anything.
Because, that's like, absolutely fair.
I don't know if I had gotten anything, like any games. I know I have a few games. The one thing I do know is Phoenix Rising is not on my Amazon wishlist. Neither is Hades. So I could probably comfortably buy both of them. But I'm currently waiting for Christmas to see if I get Hyrule Warriors, because I'm definitely buying that if I don't get it on Christmas.
And, like, frankly, like, why buy a new game now that's, like, not on the best sale, when you're probably going to get at least one new game in 2 days?
Yeah, exactly.
I almost bought Avenger from Gamefly the other day, because it was only $14.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking at it, I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to have something after Christmas. And I really don't want this game physically, because I don't want it enough to actually deal with taking a disc in and out of my...
I totally understand that. I have the disc tray just in case. I never plan on buying any physical copies ever again.
Like, there are games that I will totally buy physically, like, even in the future, just based on, like, if I'm in a store and I'm like, oh, I wanted to play that, and it's a really good sale. But, like, Avengers is still that game where it's like, I don't really care if I ever play it. It's just, like, when it is under $15, I will grab it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
If I found it for, like, $2, I'd probably do it.
yeah.
And, I mean, like, I feel like it's getting there, but...
I don't think it's going to go under $2. I don't think it's going to go under...
I mean, that
was going to say, what are the odds in February it's a PS Plus?
Honestly, they might do that just to try and get the player base up, if they have any other, like... big content patches coming in the near future, like, from there.
Clint is supposed to be coming soon. We also still never got Spider-Man. Black Panther is supposed to be coming. Like, they
have characters.
For a ton of characters.
I didn't mean character-wise. I meant, like if they had, like, a... Like, aren't they supposed to add, like, a raid or something like that?
Yeah, I'm sure, but with characters coming content.
I understand that, but, like, I'm not talking about, like, character content. I'm talking about, like, something big that they would want, like, a big player base for, like a raid.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was supposed to have been added with Kate, but it wasn't. I'm not sure why. But, like, storyline content comes with every character, it seems.
But
at least so far it has with Kate, and probably will with Clint.
But if you think about it, like, a PS Plus game, they're not going to release a game like that on PS Plus for single-player story content. They're going to release it when their numbers are low on PlayStation, and they're releasing multiplayer content, and they want to try and get that push and get people to, you know, jump into it that haven't played it at all yet, that they're then like, oh, well, I want to play the raid. I guess I have to spend money to buy these hero card unlocks and stuff like that.
See, like, I get what you're saying. I totally do. But I don't think Square Enix would... I don't think they'd be able to make any money from doing that, because you wouldn't need to pay anything to get into the raid and such. So yeah, there are those people who want the cosmetics and everything, but, like, if your main focus is the multiplayer content and the challenge cards, you have to spend $0 for that.
Oh, that's right. The real money stuff on those challenge cards aren't, like, game-related, right? Like, they're just cosmetics?
It's everything's cosmetic. It's a games of services type game, like Destiny and all that. Like, all their money making that they're trying to do is through cosmetics. And you can get, if you complete one character's challenge card, and that's including the base characters, you can buy other characters' challenge cards. From having the game from launch, doing all the challenge cards, and all the, like, thank you for sticking with us rewards that Square Enix has sent to everyone, or Crystal Dynamics sent to everyone. I have bought multiple costumes and Kate's character card, or challenge card, and I still have about 5,000 credits left, which gives me at least 4 to 5 more costumes, or 5 challenge cards.
Okay.
But those cards aren't, like, time-limited, right?
What do you mean?
So it's not, like, a Battle Royale season?
Or no, whatever. No. So it is, like, you have to get 200 points, and it's, like, daily and weekly tasks. So, like, you get 2 daily tasks per day and 2 weekly tasks per week. And if you get the, or not tasks, but objectives, I guess, or side things. If you get those done, you get 11 points per weekly and 3 points per daily. So, if you get them done, and if you do them, nothing but them, for, I believe, it's 4 weeks, you finish your challenge card.
Which, okay. I mean, that's something.
Yeah. And they're usually easy, too. They're like, kill X amount of enemies without touching, like if you're Iron Man, kill X amount of enemies without touching the ground, or lunge over enemies and kill them quickly X amount of times and stuff like that. They're easy tasks to do.
But they're not fun.
I mean, those aren't necessarily meant to be fun because they're just something you do while playing.
It's a game. Everything that is in there be fun.
But what I'm saying is, like, you shouldn't sit there and be like, all right, I'm going to focus on just doing the challenge, which is what I do. But, like, you can just do them naturally without having to focus on them. Just check and see what you have to do and maybe tweak your playstyle slightly. But for the most part, it's, like, some of them are find 15 treasure chests, like, which you can do just by playing 2 missions in the game, which takes, for me, less than an hour.
That's a lot of time right there.
It's my lunch break.
Well, we got very off target there, though.
But anyway, Cyberpunk 2077 is not on PSN.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hot mess. I did see they just released a 16 gig patch today, it looks like.
Jesus Christ.
The post I saw of somebody like sharing it, they weren't able to find like the patch notes for it. They just showed like that their console was downloading the 16 gig patch, whatever version it is. So, I mean, hopefully that's helping, but, like, only time will tell.
Yeah.
Now, I did not read this article at all, so this is going to be up to you two guys who I think did. KFC has, like, a game thing they're doing that'll keep chicken warm.
It's a console.
Well, all right.
Well, it's a PC. It's a VR-capable and ready PC that keeps your chicken warm.
They've partnered with Cooler Master to make a custom case, basically, that has a drawer to put chicken and whatever in and keep it warm off the heat coming off the processor and shit. Like, the fuck.
It is, let's see, man, this stupid website. Some of its specs include a NUC 9 Extreme Compute Element and 2 Seagate Barracuda 1TB solid state drives.
Oh, it's 2? I only saw 1.
Yeah, that's according to CNN.
Okay.
And I think this article's a bit older than, like, apparently it was announced forever ago, but everyone thought it was a joke, which I don't even remember it being announced forever ago.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing this
either.
That would
require paying attention to, like, brand Twitters.
Yeah. The console can handle virtual reality games and offers smooth gameplay thanks to 240 frames per second frame rate and 4K display capabilities, according to details published by Cooler Master.
Yeah, it looks like it, so it's a custom NC100 Cooler Master case. It's the Intel processor. It's an Asus powered GPU. Apparently that can be swapped out. Like, so you could theoretically put like a 3090 or 3080 or whatever in. Maybe, like, looking at the size of this, maybe not. Like, I don't know if like the 3090 would fit because that thing is like the size of a small child.
Yeah.
But it also says that it's their NVMe drive. So you know, very fast drives and also most likely swappable, and you may be able to slot in some, like, standard solid states, too, if you just wanted some extra storage. But, like, 2TB is a lot of storage. This whole chicken cooler or chicken warmer thing is fucking weird, though, and is not good for anything at all.
Like, they're saying it's, like, designed to not let anything leak out, but come on. Like, shit's gonna fail.
And, like, not only that, like, you're basically, like, storing the heat up underneath of the PC, it looks like. Or maybe not even underneath, judging by some of these pictures. Like,
So it is on top of the PC. It goes over the... Is that the disc tray it looks? Is there a disc tray?
I mean, there's probably not a disc tray. PCs don't have...
So then that's probably the hard drive. It goes over whatever's on top.
Yeah, like, that's going to cause so much overheating and poor ventilation and... Like, somebody is going to spend a lot of money to buy one. They're going to go incredibly...
Yeah. Well, you know what? If we get $2,000 each, I might buy one.
You're assuming just that because... thing will only be $2,000.
You're assuming that thing will be $2,000?
I mean, look, I found it hilarious when I was texted that in another friend group, and I was like, the fuck? This is real? And then we got to talking about the recipe for seduction. KFC is killing it in the advertising department.
Yeah, like, whoever is running their marketing team, like, is definitely having fun with their job.
Yeah, they've got the Colonel Sanders dating sim, that came out a few years ago. Like, all I'm waiting for now is for them to release, like, a tabletop RPG like Wendy's did. And, like, we'd be all set.
I'm sure that's coming.
Probably.
This is another actual news thing. Not kind of weird news. DC started teasing the new Justice League lineup for 2021 in the comics, as well as their potential creative team. So It looks like Brian Michael Bendis might be taking over Justice League in March after the Future State stuff wraps up. His last issue of Action Comics came out this week. I think Superman is also wrapped up, but he might have one issue of that left. But he posted an image online of, like, a silhouetted Justice League from David Marquez, who he's collaborated with on a bunch of books while they were both at Marvel. They did, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, together. They worked on the Miles Spider-Man book for a while together. So, like, them as a team makes sense. But the Justice League team is actually kind of different. So you've got some carryover. You've got your Batman, your Superman, your Aquaman, your Hulk. They're all currently on, like, the current incarnation of the team. They're also bringing back Green Arrow and Black Canary. Haven't been on the team in years. And I was trying to think about this while I was writing this. I think the last time they were on the actual Justice League was before New 52. Mm-hmm. Like, they had both been on some of, like, the side book teams that weren't really the Justice League, but not, like, the actual Justice League. And then they have three new people, like, air quotes. Hippolyta, I think is how you say it. Wonder Woman's mom is going to be on the team, apparently, as well as Black Adam, and a new character that Bendis co-created, Naomi, all appear to be on the team as well. Some of those actually make sense. So Black Adam has the movie coming up with The Rock. I think they're filming it now, maybe. And Black Adam is the Shazam villain-ish guy. He's like, he's Shazam, but he wears a black suit instead.
Yeah.
And then Naomi, apparently, and I didn't realize this, got a series order for a show at CW.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got some sort of powers. She can fly and is strong, all I really picked up from it. And then Wonder Woman's mom is just a part of the current Endless Winter story that's playing out, like, Justice League and other books. So yeah. She's at least relevant to the books and, like, maybe plays a big part in the new movie that comes out in 2 days.
Yeah, we'll see.
And the one thing missing from these, there's no Green Lantern or Flash. Like, there's 30 different Earthbound Green Lanterns and, like, 14 different Flashes, and none of them are on the Justice League.
Come on, how do you have the Justice League without Flash? Like, or you know, they can just make the Justice the Justice Friends.
You mean the Super Friends?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah, it is weird though, because, like, you know, Barry's around. They seem to be working to bring Wally back from whatever bullshit he was in. And then there's, like, all those other, like, Flashes floating around.
Yeah. Wasn't he, like, in trouble because he, like, killed, all the heroes or whatever?
He accidentally killed a lot of heroes.
Yeah, but it's still, he killed them.
Yeah.
Accident or not.
Well, so, I mean, it was one of those, like, he didn't actively kill them. His powers actually went out of control. Like, he basically had, like, a Speed Force explosion that he couldn't control either. And it just happened to be at a place where a bunch of heroes were. And the problem was he panicked and then tried to cover it up.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of the bigger issue there. But with the whole Dark Knights thing, like, they've kind of been trying to redeem him.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, he became, like, like a pseudo godlike character for a little while and stuff. Was supposed to be like one of the anchors to take down the bad guy. Like that fell apart. I don't know. Yeah. That whole story's I do like Bendis on Justice League though. He wrote Avengers for a really long time and did a lot of interesting stuff with that team. And I feel like Justice League can always use interesting because it's got such like historic characters in it that I feel like a lot of time people don't take chances with those characters because like what are you going to do with Superman and Batman that they're not already doing in their own books?
Yeah.
But like he wrote Avengers for probably close to a decade. Like he killed Hawkeye, he killed the Wasp, he disassembled the whole team. Made the new Avengers, which brought, like, Spider-Man and shit into the Avengers first time. And, like, was on that book through, like, World War Hulk, Secret Invasion, Seed, and, like, threw that up in... I think he was on it up until they did Secret Wars. Or not, like, up to mm-hmm. Secret Wars, but, like, he left the book before the writer that took it into Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I feel like if anyone can kind of put, like, an interesting twist on some of these characters, it's him. Just because... Yeah. The last 10 years of Justice League books, like, they're not bad, but a lot of times they're just nothing special unless there's, like, a big event going on.
Yeah, that's a shame. Like, DC, I would love to be able to, like, try to get into, but, like, I don't know. It's just something about their comics. I like their animated shit, but from what I hear, their comics just aren't that great.
It depends on, it all depends on the comic. Like you have, like, your Batman and your Detective comics. One of them is always better than the other. Like, right now, Batman is... definitely better than Detective.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, a few months ago, like, I would have said the opposite. Like, Detective was definitely had the more interesting story than Batman had going
on. Yeah.
But then, like, the team-up... So, the big team-up book... Also, your cat is... Is it a kitten?
Yes. Not even 1 year
old. So that's why he's so active.
Oh, yeah. He's got the zoomies.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say, like, you have such a vocal cat, and it's funny, because, like, I don't... Like, I'm not around cats a whole lot. Like, you guys have both had them multiple times. But, like, I'm not used mm-hmm. to, like, cats being vocal. And yours is, like, so outside. Vocal out there. I'm just like, man, you have such a vocal cat. But a kitten makes a little more sense. He's...
I think he wants to go outside.
Is he allowed outside?
No.
Okay.
No.
I was going to say, like, that seems like a bad idea for a kitten.
Oh, yeah. He's... No, not without supervision.
Okay.
So, like, they'll take him out. They'll pick him up and carry him out and, like, maybe, like, bring him to the car or whatever and just, like, walk around with him. I keep telling them to get a leash for him, and they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, just get a damn leash. Yeah. They make cat leashes.
So, some cats and like take it, him some for cats a walk. Hate it.
Yeah, and take him for a walk. But yeah, he wants to go outside. He likes the outside.
Yeah, it's just funny, like, unless... I can hear his bell ringing, and like, Drew, I'm sure you can hear it too, and then like the meowing, mm-hmm. I'm like, that is such a vocal cat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, man, he wants something, and somebody's...
Yeah, it's me. I'm ignoring him because...
He's not your responsibility.
Well, I can't play with him right now.
You need just a laser pointer.
He gets bored of those quickly.
Really?
I think. No. He's actually smart enough to know where it comes from.
Oh. Well,
so like he'll play with it a bit, but then he'll come at my hand.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, the individual books for DC tend to be interesting, especially if you pick like the not core characters, I guess you'd call them. Mm-hmm. Like your Batman, your Superman, your Wonder Woman books, like even, like, the Green Lantern and Flash can really... I feel like they're more hit or miss than some of the other ones. Like, Teen Titans tends to be good more often than not.
Yeah.
Like, your Nightwings, your Batgirls, your Batman Beyonds. Like, the books that, like, yeah. seem to get a little more freedom on to just try something different, I feel, are a little more consistently good. Like, they still have their times where, like, they'll have, like, a less than stellar run, but...
Yeah, I think my biggest issue is, like, it feels like their lineup is a lot larger than Marvel. Like,
actually, Marvel definitely has more books per month, but I think DC just has the more recognizable hero names.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, when, like, Batman has, how many books? So there's two Batman books, and then there's Nightwing, and Red Hood, and Batgirl, and Batman Beyond, and, like, Teen Titans is more of a Batman book. Like a Batman family book than anything.
Yeah.
And then like there's always like your like little mini books and stuff like that that focus on characters. So like, you know, the Bat family alone is 10 books just right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like that's a lot. Whereas like in Marvel it's like, oh well there's 10 X-Men books, but every one of those books focuses on a different team. And yeah. you wouldn't necessarily know that they're all X-Men books unless like Marauders doesn't Like, if you're not an X-Men fan, that name means nothing to you. Same thing with, like, Excalibur.
But, like, I see it more like when you talk about Batman and then you talk about, like, the Fantastic Four. Like, you got the Bat family in Batman and then you have the Fantastic Four. Like, Sue doesn't have her own book.
She had one.
Reed doesn't. I'm sure she did at one point, but, like, normally, canonically, they, like, it's the Fantastic Four is all together. They don't have their own separate series, whereas, like, when you've got the Bat Family stuff, it's not like, I feel like it would be better if they just release a Bat Family book a month and not four Bat Family books a month, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, I think the difference there is, like, with the Fantastic Four, like, their adventures all involve each other. And, and frankly, they've gotten to the point now where, like, there's, like, 12 of them. Like, they're... They have kids, like, everyone's, like, in a relationship or married, and, like, basically the entire Marvel Universe is part of the Fantastic. Like, everyone's been on that team at some point.
I know Spider-Man was Bagman for a while, so.
Well, I mean, Spider-Man was actually an official part of the team for a while, too, when Johnny was dead. But, like, your Batman books, like, they're not really, like, and, like I'm using family with air quotes, like, they're not really a family the same way the Fantastic Four are, like.
Well, yeah.
Like, they team up occasionally, but, like. Nightwing isn't in Gotham. Nightwing's in Bloodhaven. Like, Red Hood is God knows where half the... Right now, he's in Gotham, but, like, that'll probably last for two more issues before they take him someplace else. Like...
Yeah.
Batgirl is sometimes in Gotham, sometimes in, another city that I can't think of the name of. Like, they don't all live at Wayne Manor. So, like, doing, like, a monthly book with all of them just doesn't make as much sense when they're all kind of leading their own lives and have their own sort of rogues and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, like, if they were to, honestly, if they were to split up the Fantastic Four and actually do, like, four different books a month, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, they don't really have, like, they have individual identities, but their villains are their collective villain.
Yeah, but, like, the Bat Family only has their own individual identities because they did separate, just kept them all together. Like, if they just kept Nightwing in Gotham and kept him fighting all of the same Batman villains, like they only split up the team because, like, they could, and they could definitely split up the team with the Fantastic Four. They don't, which...
But, like, I don't think they could get away with splitting up the Fantastic Four in, like, a real way, the way they can with Batman. Because, like, Batman kind of pushes everyone away, whereas, like, the Fantastic Four is very much, like, about them being, like, one cohesive unit, even when they're not.
About them being Marvel's first family.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, Batman is a bad dad, so...
Yeah, no, he definitely is. Except, you know what? He lets his son... beat the shit out of him, refuses to swing back.
Really?
Yeah, like, Damian's real angry, like, all the time, but, like, particularly right now, because he is directly responsible for Alfred's death. And, like, the villain actually made Damian watch as he broke Alfred's neck. So, like, Damian's sort of, like, on the warpath right now. And, like, is no longer, like, refuses to be Robin, and every time, like, Batman finds him, he just attacks him, and, like, Batman just lets him.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, like, he's not the worst dad.
He's Kratos dad level. He's dad level Kratos.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That works. That definitely works. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that whole thing. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what he'll do with Justice League. Especially, like, Snyder did his run on Justice League that led up to the death metal stuff that's going on right now. And I thought a lot of that was really interesting because it was sort of, like, universe scope.
Yeah.
But he left the book this time last year so that they could start working on death metal. And the book literally, like his last issue ended on a cliffhanger that then kind of picks up in death metal a year later. And somebody else just picked up, like, the next issue of Justice League and kind of just started telling their own stories. And they haven't been bad stories, but they've also just been kind of, like, none of them are memorable the way, like, every comic has, like, those memorable story arcs. And, like, Justice League has a ton of them. That book's been going on for, like, 60 fucking years. Maybe longer. I don't remember when the first Justice... But, yeah, like, the last, like, year of it's just been, like, oh, yeah, no, there's definitely still a Justice League book happening, I think. Whereas, like, you know, like, Bendis tends to shake things up, even if he doesn't keep them, shaken up. So,
yeah,
we'll see. Just keeping with the funny pictures, I read the Dragon Ball Super manga, or at least I read everything after the anime ended.
Okay.
I didn't realize, so it was shorter than I realized. I didn't realize it was a monthly release. So it was only like 20 chapters, give or take. I really hope that they actually animate that stuff, like, at some point. So it picks up after the Tournament of Power and after Brawly. And, like, they allude to the stuff that happens in Brawly, but, like, they obviously don't say it or, like, directly reference it. But they do like some interesting stuff in there. So they actually give a reason why, or like quote unquote reason why Beerus doesn't just show up and just end the conflict. Like, Rich, I know you only really know him from the two movies, but
yeah,
like
yeah.
He is like he's the god of destruction. Like they show in the one arc of the show, like he just erases the bad guy from existence. Like
okay,
like the dude is doing a thing and he just walks up and just kind of like taps him on the nose and he just stops existing.
Yeah.
But like in this, it was more of a like. He was bored and just didn't care. And when Whis asked him if he wanted to like go check out what was happening, he's like, something was happening on New Namek. And he's like, no, they don't eat anything. They just drink water. Like, why would I want to go there? not really knowing what was going on. Just knowing that Goku and Vegeta were involved in something.
Yeah.
And then when he shows up on Earth, like near the end of the conflict, he's actually about to get involved. He's like, motherfuckers can't do this on their own. I guess I'm going to have to fix this. And, like,
yeah.
Right before he goes to, like, end it, they get summoned away by, like, the actual, like, head angel who, like, reports directly to the little Omni King guy. And, like, they can't, like, he just has to leave immediately. So he basically just tells Goku not to fuck it up because he wants lunch later, and then they just leave. So, yeah. Like, it's lame reasoning, but at least they sort of, like, you know, they wrap it in there why, like, so the whole idea of the arc, just before I get too far out of the thing here. There's a villain from, it was like 10 million years ago or something like that, that the old Supreme Kai, the one that Boo absorbed, defeated. And he had, he's magic, so he's not like your normal like Freezer, Cell, like just super powerful villain. He uses magic and he actually sucks the life force out of entire planets. Kind of the way Goku okay. would to make a spirit bomb, but he actually like kills everything on a planet and then eats the power.
Okay.
So, like, he becomes, like, at the level of, like, the gods of destruction as far as, like, power goes.
Yeah.
And he gets broken out of the prison, and he's, like, an old man. He has no power at the moment, and he gets taken to New Namek for the Dragon Balls by somebody that used to be in Frieza's gang. So he knew about the Dragon Balls.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, Goku and Vegeta get involved, and... This is, like, the first time, especially because, like, Akira Toriyama doesn't like Vegeta, apparently. But, like, he wrote this arc where, like, Vegeta actually gets, like, credit and does shit.
If he doesn't like Vegeta, why did he make him a main cast?
Because people liked Vegeta.
But, like, I don't know.
So when
he didn't have to.
So apparently he killed Vegeta because he didn't like him, but people liked him so much that he brought him back. But that's why, like...
Was there that much time between when he killed Vegeta during Namek and when he brought him back?
Probably, but also during the Buu Saga, I think, is what he was referring to.
Okay.
Which...
Vegeta did die during the Frieza Saga.
Yeah, but he gets brought back as part of, like, Goku's weird wish pattern to, like, bring back all the Namekians. Or everyone killed by Frieza.
Yeah, everyone killed by Frieza or everyone killed on Namek or something like that, yeah.
It was everyone killed, everyone who died as a result of it, because that was how they managed to get the elder Namekian back, because he basically died of a broken heart, because all of his people were.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, in this arc, like, Vegeta does the actual damage to the villain. Vegeta's the one that actually gives a fuck about what's going on, and if it wasn't for him, he, like, Goku wouldn't have been able to actually beat him.
Yeah.
Because, like, even when they're on Namek, like, the villain, the first thing he tries to do is kill, like, a Namekian child to, like, get his life force. And the first one into the fight is Vegeta punching him out. And he says something along the lines of, like, I'm not going to let you hurt these people. Like, I'm here to atone for what I did to them years ago.
Yeah.
Like...
Talk about bad dads. Let's talk about Goku for a second.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Like, a bunch of characters in the arc also mention it, like... Vegeta actually has, like, character development, and that, like, they point out, like, how much he's changed, and they're like, but you're just the same. Like, you didn't change at all. Like,
yeah, and that's the problem. Like, he hates Vegeta, but Vegeta's grown. Goku hasn't.
Yeah, like, and it's not even, like Goku is not a good guy. Like, he's not a bad guy, but he's not, like, inherently good either. Like, his heart is generally in the right place when it comes to stopping somebody from killing somebody. But, like, his biggest motivation is he wants people to fight. So, like, he pulls a Cell with Moro, the bad guy. Vegeta beats him, like, bad. Because Vegeta goes to the same planet that Goku learned instant transmission from and trains with them and learns how to basically steal power from people.
Okay.
So, like, Vegeta beats him to the point where, like, he has no power left. And then some stuff happens. Goku's about to beat him and then goes, look, you're done. We beat you. Here's a Senzu bean. Leave.
Like, why do you do that, Goku? Like, you're just asking for more problems.
Yeah, like, everybody's like, is he really doing this? Like, why is he doing it? What is he doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it was a really fun arc from, like, super, like, the show wasn't bad, but, like, it was, like, every other arc was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, in this case, like, this would be, like, a follow-up to the last interesting arc with another interesting arc.
Yeah.
And, like, they're starting to tie, like, other things into it. Like, they're explaining the angels, like Whis and, like, his whole people. They brought Oob, the good reincarnation of Boo. And they brought back the whole storyline where, like, Boo was, like, fat jolly Boo because he absorbed the Supreme Kai.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when Boo split into, like, the evil and the good versions, the good version was really just the Supreme Kai half of
it. Yeah.
And they explained why, like, he is not stronger than, like, he's super strong, but, like, he's not as strong as he could be because all of his god power went to the evil side.
Yeah.
Which is now part of Oob. So, like, that explains why that character ends up being as strong as he potentially could be, like, if GT were canon.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did a lot of interesting stuff with it. And I'm actually looking forward to see sort of, like, where that whole thing goes.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And then, after I finished that, I started reading the Boruto manga. It's not very good, but it's significantly better than the show was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that show was real bad compared to the...
Wow.
Also, probably because the show is, like, 200 episodes in, and only, like, 12 of those episodes are canon.
Yeah.
So...
They got real bad with the Bleach syndrome with that.
So,
like, I haven't even tried to watch it, and as much as I want to, like, I'm just, like, they've had the same main cast of villains for the entire series.
Wait, what do you mean?
At least from what I've seen, like, their main villains have been, like, the same main villains the entire time.
For Boruto?
For Boruto, yeah.
No, so, the problem with Boruto is, so, the show started, like, a year-ish, maybe not even that far, after the manga started. It's a monthly book, though. So there were less than 12 chapters by the time the show started. And the book starts with the Chunin exam from the movie, where, like, it's like, a little bit of Chunin exam, and then the bad guys show up, and then Naruto and Sasuke have to fight one of those god characters because the other Kage are useless. Like, that's where the manga starts. And then... the manga goes from there, and, like, it's interesting. Like, it's actually got, like, a story going on. It's just Boruto as a character kind of sucks. Because he just can't, like, you know how, like, Naruto just wasn't really good at anything?
Yeah.
So, like, Boruto's the opposite. Like, he's more like Sasuke, but he's, like, also a spoiled little bitch about it.
Yeah.
So, like, he mastered the Rasengan in a day.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, nobody else could do that. But the show... so, the show has, like, the overarching, like... it's Kaguya's, like, family that, like, she was trying to, like, prepare for, like, by, like,
yeah,
creating, like, the her army. They're, like, the overarching villains, but, like, the show has had all sorts of villains. Like, at one point, the old man, the old Kage dude that had, like, the particle stuff,
yeah,
he was kind of a, like, not like a villain, but, like, he was responsible for some shady shit going on. But all of that wasn't canon. Like I said, like, there's... From like, the first, like, 30 episodes are all essentially filler, because it's not actually from the manga. And then you have the Chunin exam bit, and then you have another 200 episodes that aren't in the book at all.
Yeah.
And then, apparently, like, from what I've seen online, the show is just getting to, like, the 16th chapter of the manga.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And it's, like, kind of upsetting, and, like, why I'm not, like, in a rush to watch it. And, like, I've been wanting to rewatch Naruto. And I'm just like, I don't want to, like, I know I can just skip all the filler, but, like, I don't want to, that's so many episodes anyway.
And honestly, like, skipping the filler, that show actually goes much quicker.
Yeah.
It'd be better if you could watch the whole thing done.
I mean, that's not a big deal.
No, like, I just meant so you could have it on in, like, the background and not have to focus on, like, every single, because even with when you cut out all the filler, if you're watching, like, the original and Shippuden, like, that's still 400-ish episodes, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's a lot.
Yeah, and like if you were to just throw that on dubbed and like, you know, go about doing other stuff, kind of like you do with like The Office.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not as bad, but
yeah, like I'd be able to cook and have that on dubbed.
And like you know it enough that like you'll hear something, you're like, oh, that's a cool scene. Let me go actually pay attention to this for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
versus
and there's like
yeah.
Even following the storyline, like, there's only a select few episodes that are, like, really good and you have to see, and then the rest of it's like, alright, if you just listen to it, you kind of know what's going on. But, like, the big battle scenes and the big fight scenes are really what you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, and really, it's like, in the original series, it's basically, like, Lee's fight in the Chunin and the Sasuke and Naruto fight at the end, and then...
And that was, yeah, that was my favorite fight scene. Like, I had, I don't know if you guys remember, at least if you remember, Cobb, I think you knew about it, Drew. I had this big MP4 player that had a really good screen, and the two episodes where Sasuke and Naruto fight were on there, because I would watch that anytime I had free time.
I did not know that, but, like, I understand that, because that, like, that original fight, like, from the end of the original series, or, like, not the end of the original series, but, like, the end of the canon stuff was really good.
Yeah, and it was really good, the art style was amazing, so, like, I would have that on there and just from time, like, you know what, let me just watch it. And I'll just sit there and watch that fight. Yeah. It was so good.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you have like 130 episodes in a Shippuden before that really.
Yeah.
Because it's not until like the Sasuke Itachi fight and the Naruto Pain stuff that the show really starts like getting good.
Yeah. Like, it's, and not to say it's not good to begin with, it's just like it does drag. It has that, like, the same issue that Boruto's having. Like, it just takes forever to get into its big thing. Naruto or Shippuden was all about basically the Great Ninja War, and like what is Shippuden? 400 episodes?
500.
500 episodes, and I think 300 of them are the Ninja War.
Yeah, about it's right around episode 200 is when like the war officially starts.
Yeah.
And then yeah, like
so like when you think about that, 300 episodes from the war officially starts, that's 6 years of weekly watching. Half of those are filler, and half of those, like, if you don't realize, the Great Ninja War takes place over the course of 2 days, maybe three. I think it ends on the morning of the third day.
I think you're right, because, like, they do that thing, and some of it works, because they have multiple things happening at the same time that you're seeing play out over, like, in groups over several episodes, so, like, when the war first starts while Naruto is still on that Turtle Island thing, before he gets Kurama's power, there's like the beach fight going on where Shikamaru's team has to fight Asuma again, and then there's the fight in the woods where a bunch of the puppet dude comes back, or like when Kakashi has to fight the swordsman. Like they have all those different sort of like cells going on where it's like, okay, well, this is like 30 episodes total, but it's literally all supposed to be happening simultaneously.
Yeah, which is fine, and I believe there was one night before Naruto leaves the turtle, and then it goes into the big fight with the Ten Tails, and that morning is Naruto's birthday morning, like, and it, like, literally that, the 300 episodes take place over the course of 3 days.
Yeah, and it's only bad once you get to that point where, like, everyone is at that battlefield against, like, the actual final villains. And it's like, well, why is this, like, 150 episodes if it's really, like, 4 hours?
It comes up on my time hop from time to time whenever I'm actually paying attention to it. There was a year between, like, actual story fillers and then actual story. There was a year, almost a year, between giving us actual, like, canon content in Naruto. And it was, like, for the last 30 seconds of that episode. And then it went to more fucking filler.
So that's actually not true. There aren't any blocks of filler that long. There's close, though. Like, there's a few, like, 20, 30 episode blocks of filler. The problem is, like, the chunks after it are usually, like, 5 to 10 episodes and not much happens before there's another chunk of filler.
I'll have to, because I can't remember what it was that happened, but I do remember there was a, like, almost close to a year where there was, like, which 30 to 40 episodes, or 20 to 30 episodes, it's almost close to a year, but it's just, like, the Naruto, the Jump animes just have that syndrome, where they will just The freaking One Piece is almost 1,000 episodes.
Yep.
And they've been looking for the One Piece the entire time.
Is that what they're trying to do in that show?
I believe that's what it is. Is the planet is, from what I've learned from, like, watching, I kind of learned this. So the planet is, all ocean with one strip of land around it. But you can only sail to the west. If you sail, like, the strip of land has, a waterfall on it. And once you leave that strip of land or something, you land into the strip of ocean where you can sail to the east, but you only get to the strip of land that you can't land on. And if you sail north or south, you don't go anywhere because there's nothing north or south. You can only sail to the west. And once you sail all the way around to the west, to back to that original strip of land, there's a chance that you can find the One Piece or something like that and become the king of pirates. I don't know. It is bonkers, but it is 1,000 episodes of nothing. And, like, I've wanted to watch it because I've heard good things about it. It's 1,000 episodes. Like,
yeah,
I'm rewatching.
That's too much. And it's only, it's dubbed up to, like, 640.
Yeah, like, I'm currently rewatching Critical Role right now, which is probably 1,000 hours. Not really. But it's a lot of episodes. But, like, it's not as daunting. Even though it's, like, 3 hours of 150 episodes for the first campaign, it's not as daunting as 1,000 fucking episodes. It's insane.
Yeah, no, that seems about right. Also, I was just scrolling through the filler list just to try and see. So, between episodes 394 and 450, there are only 1, 2, 5, 6, 8, there are only 9 canon episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. That is probably the section you were thinking of, because
yeah.
That's all.
And I think are the canon episodes, they are canon, but they're like filler canon. So, it's like Kakashi's backstory with...
None of that's canon either, and that's actually way before this. This is the area right around... So it's the new Chunin exams where Naruto fails to become a Chunin a second time. And it's right around the era where, like, Madara is getting ready to use the Infinite Tsukuyomi.
Yeah. So gets ready to use the Infinite Tsukuyomi, and then you get all of the characters' like dreams.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of episodes before that are filler with canon mixed in the middle, and then a bunch after it are filler. And then immediately after the filler, it goes into Itachi's story that shows, like, his whole life and, like, what actually happened the night of the massacre. But
yeah.
That's canon, but it's not manga canon. It's from, like, a light novel.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But like, I consider that filler because it wasn't, like, yeah, it was important and it was something maybe that, like, was helpful to know, but it was in the middle of the fucking war that was going on.
Yeah, at least it wasn't as bad as the Bleach filler during the Arnkar arc, where it just literally, like, oh yeah, this big war's happening in their town, but we're gonna have 30 episodes of his little sister and that weird dude with a cape running around, like, solving crimes. It's like, what the fuck are you people doing?
But, like, they did do that, though, because they had, like, yeah, them dreaming is canon, but we didn't need to see it.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree. And look, Naruto did have a lot of that bad stuff, too, like the Mecha Naruto episodes. I just meant, like, the Itachi stuff was at least, like, interesting.
It was informative and slightly interesting, yes.
Like, that, yeah, like, I enjoyed that section of it. But how about that Mandalorian finale?
Dude, that was, oh, man.
You haven't watched it so yet, good. Right, Drew?
Nope. I've watched the, like, first two episodes.
Oh, for some reason, I thought you guys watched the...
Nope. We started watching it and didn't really get too into it.
Okay.
But I've told Sarah she can just go ahead and watch it if she wants to.
Yeah, I thought you guys watched the whole first season.
I don't think we did. But I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure we did.
That's fair. The finale was real good.
Yeah. The season 2 finale was so good. Like, I wasn't expecting what happened.
No, neither was I. I actually watched it's the only episode I've watched twice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I haven't watched it twice, but I'll probably go back and watch both before the new season comes out. Or at least before, the new series comes out, next year.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a second, but.
Yeah. But, like, I was so happy to see that, like, I mean, we're going to get into spoilers. It's almost a week since it's been out. Kind of your fault for not having seen it, but here's your warning now. We're going to probably spoil Mandalorian Season 2 finale.
Yeah, skip like 10 minutes. But yeah, so they went to get Baby Yoda back. They got on to Moff Gideon's cruiser, proceeded to take out all of the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like, four fucking people beat an entire fucking ship full of stormtroopers somehow.
I mean, like, first of all, they've been, like, it's a skeleton crew. There's not as many there as you would think. And, like, it has been canon that stormtroopers have shitty aim.
No, like, I mean, you're not wrong. It's just crazy that, like, I mean, three of the five people were Mandalorians. So, like,
yeah. I mean, three of them were wearing Beskar armor. So, like, it's not a surprise that they didn't get killed.
Yeah, exactly. I like that, they played up the whole Darksaber stuff too.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like that's going to lead into a problem next season if they keep, what's her face around. Even if it's not in like a main role, as just like a reoccurring role. Bo-Katan, right?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, Gideon had the Darksaber. She wanted to beat Gideon, but he attacked Mando first, so he now has the Darksaber. And it's one of those, like, she needs to win it. It's like the Elder Wand.
Yeah, basically. She needs to defeat him in combat in order for her to be allowed to have it in the Mandalorian way, basically.
Yeah, and...
like, she can't just accept it. I was like, that's an interesting, like, concept. Because, like, I know the lore of the Darksaber, I believe they said this during the season. I can't fully remember. But, like, the lore of the Darksaber is it's the only Mandalorian Jedi, like, wielded that saber.
Or at least the first Mandalorian Jedi.
Yeah.
He created that saber. It is one of the only known things that can apparently cut through pure Beskar. Mm-hmm. Obviously not, like butter cut through, but, like...
Yeah. You could see the spear was getting some damage.
Yeah, and it was heating up. Like if he would have left that hang on there, like, it would have eventually cut through it. But it basically became like the Excalibur for the Mandalorians. Like the person that holds the sword is the king. Or I guess the sword in the stone, because Excalibur was not the sword in the stone.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah, the whole, like, raid, it just, the episode itself turned into kind of a, what's the term? Heist. It was a heist episode.
Yeah, it really was. They were trying to steal a baby.
And they did it really well. They weren't just trying to steal a baby. They were trying to steal a fucking starship.
Yeah, I mean, that too. That's like, oh, that's true, because that was kind of the deal. It's like, you help me go get the baby back, and you can have his ship.
Yeah, exactly. So that was, like, that was just awesome. And then, the super troopers, or whatever they are.
Oh, like, yeah, those, like, things. The elite robot troopers.
Yeah, those things were nuts.
Yeah, I like that. I like that they really played up the fact that, like, the Mandalorian armor can really just take a beating, because, like, that one robot just was ramming his head into the metal wall, drilling his head into the wall, and, like, he just kind of got up okay afterwards.
which is funny, because, like, there was an explosion and he almost died in season one, like. But I mean, and the only defense between the two is the explosion. He hit his head when he landed, whereas his head was just stuck to the wall as it was being punched and pushed further back.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, an explosion can actually cause more damage to your body.
Yeah.
Even if you're not in the explosion itself.
Yeah.
Just the force that actually just passes through your body can cause severe internal damage.
Yeah. But it was. Like, it did. It showed the strength of the Beskar armor and how, like, awesome it is. How they defeated the troopers. What happens is an X-Wing starts to fly up. And as I see the X-Wing, I'm like, oh, that's gonna be the Rescue Rangers. Chip and Dale, the Rescue Rangers of the New Republic. It's gonna be the Rangers of the New Republic. Like, it's gonna be that fat guy from earlier in the season. Like, it's gonna be him. Or, like, it's gonna be, Ahsoka or something like that. Somebody who, like.
That's what I was figuring. I thought it was either gonna be Ahsoka, or a lot of people were, hoping and speculating that it was going to be the one, like, apprentice from Rebels.
Yeah.
That, like, some goes people were missing saying, at the end of Rebels.
Yeah. Some people were even saying that it was, it could have been, the kid from, the game.
Oh, yeah. People thought that he might show up in the show at some point.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, I kind of just, I thought it was going to be Ahsoka, because they showed her once already, they announced her spinoff. It would make sense for, like, them to have, like, for, like, Mando to have reached out to her and been like, hey,
yeah,
he was taken by the Empire, like, we need help.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that's not who showed up.
But yeah, then they just show someone in a cloak, I'm like, no fucking way, and then it's the green lightsaber, and you get to see Luke being a badass.
For the first time on, like, film, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, which it wasn't really Mark Hamill, but that doesn't matter, because even if it was in a movie, it wouldn't have been Mark Hamill.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't Mark Hamill doing the stunts, but he at least voiced himself.
He did, and the...
He was credited. He wasn't credited as voice. He was credited as Mark Hamill.
Yeah, no, I mean, they used his likeness, and I'm pretty sure that he also did the voicing.
Yeah.
Because, like, why wouldn't you just have him do the voice?
Exactly.
And, like, they did as good of a job as they could with, like, doing the CG for that. Like, it didn't look bad, but you could tell it was...
Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, Rogue One quality with Leia, but it was still good. Like, it was good for a TV show. It was good for a TV series.
And see, honestly, I think it looked better than Leia. It didn't look as good as, like, the first time they show Tarkin. Like,
yeah.
The first time they show Tarkin in Rogue One, it's like, holy shit, how did you get Peter Cushing out of the grave?
Yeah.
And then they linger on him too long, and you're like, oh, no, that's just fake.
Yeah.
And Leia just looked too real to be real. But I feel like this one was somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I hope they don't do this too.
I feel like it was a one shot. Like, I think, like, we're done with the child. We're not going to see the child anymore.
No, there's no way we don't see the child again, considering how popular the character is. Like, they want to keep selling merchandise, and the only way to keep selling merchandise is to keep having it be a part of the show. It might be a little while, like, it might not be, like, till, like, the end of the next season, but, like, the child will be...
I mean, maybe, unless, like, I don't think we're gonna see the child unless they time jump till, like, right before, or unless they time jump to when, Ben kills all of, or when Ben goes crazy, basically.
So, to be fair, in canon right now, Ben did not destroy all of the Jedi.
Well, but, like, until, like, what's the word? Like, not Ben killing all the Jedi, but, like, until Ben leaves and Luke dismantles the Jedi Order, the new Jedi Order. Like...
But so the thing I wonder is, like, his Jedi Temple does get destroyed by, like, what happens? Like, which means, like, theoretically, like, Grogu is dead.
Unless Grogu left planet before that happened, because that is still at least 18 years from now or more.
Yeah, it has to be something, but yeah, I mean, we don't know how quickly that that race does mature either.
Yeah, like, well, they obviously mature slowly, but like maybe between 30 to 50, they actually like grow up, whereas like. Humans, like, between the ages of 12 and 18 or 12 to 20 is when, like, you hit puberty and actually become an adult. Like, maybe it's something like over the next 18 to 20 years is when he actually starts to become an adult and, like, can talk and
yeah.
Stuff.
Also, he didn't give him the fucking little ball thing, so the kid has to come back.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. Like, the ball, like, he should,
No.
He should have, like...
They purposely fucking show him picking up that little knob thing out of the wreckage of his ship and putting it in his fucking pocket.
Yeah.
And you're telling me the last thing he doesn't do is give that kid that little fucking thing that all he wanted to do was play with it? Bullshit.
What I thought would have been great was as Luke was walking away with Grogu and he was looking back, Grogu would have lifted his arm and the ball would have come out of Mando's pocket and into his hand.
Yeah, no, I feel like they should have had, like, something like that happen. Even him just, like, pulling it out before they were gone and him just, like... Force pull it over to him.
Yeah.
But they didn't. So, like, he has to come back and get that little ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, I feel like we're done with Grogu. I think we're done with the child. But you're right, like, it wouldn't make sense for them to like, not show him because it makes them money because of merchandise, but...
Also, they spent a lot of money on puppets for that thing, so...
I mean, they got 2 seasons out of him. Like, I'm not saying... I don't know, I feel like we're, like, the next arc is going to deal with bringing, or with getting back, the Mandalorian planet, Mandalore.
I mean, I think that is going to be a section of it, but I think by the end of the season, you will see Grogu.
Maybe. I doubt we're going to see Luke unless it's, like, somebody casted as Luke and not just, like, the CG Luke.
Yeah, I mean, they don't necessarily have to show Luke. Like, they could just allude to him being there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to kind of go along with the Mandalorian stuff, the last little bit of news we have, they announced that the Book of Boba Fett is going to be coming out next Christmas. And so it was like the post-credits stinger for the finale. And you weren't really sure if this was going to, if like season 3 of The Mandalorian was going to shift to Boba. Because like at this point, like Mando is kind of like, he doesn't really have anything else going on at the moment. Like his story arc for the first 2 seasons was finding like where Grogu belongs, and that's done. So they could have just shifted focus to Boba Fett, but this is actually going to be a spinoff. Disney confirmed it yesterday, I believe, or the day before. Which means Mandalorian will continue for like a proper season. This is going to come out on Christmas of next year. And the stinger at the end of the season was, Boba Fett and Ming-Na's character, whose name I can't remember, taking over Jabba's old palace.
Yeah.
Which had the Twi'lek that tries to tell Luke to go away, all, like, plump and sitting on his throne, apparently in charge now, getting killed by Boba Fett and whatever her character's name is. And then Boba Fett sitting on the throne.
Yeah, so that's, like, it's gonna be interesting to see what they do with that, and Tatooine, and, or if they leave Tatooine, or just basically, he's now a crime lord, like...
Well, so, I'm actually curious if it will be how they get to that, or if it will be picking up from there. Because it could kind of go either direction. It could, I think it's only supposed to be a mini-series. So it could be a mini-series that leads up to them taking over the palace... And shows us, like, what happened basically from the end of their stuff with Mando to that point. Or it could pick up right from that point.
I hope it picks up, like, I hope the first episode is from them leaving Mando to that. And then everything after that is, like, is Boba Fett being a crime lord or whatever he's going to be doing on Tatooine? Does he decide just to kill all the Hutts? Who knows?
There's a lot of Hutts.
Yeah, I know.
They have a whole planet, Nal Hutta.
Yeah, but, like, I'm not talking, like, all the Hutts, but all the, like, the crime lord Hutts on Tatooine or whatever.
Well, I mean, I think Jabba was the only one on Tatooine, because I'm pretty sure he killed the one that was before him from The Phantom Menace. Granted, that could be old canon. I don't know, but,
I don't know, I can't remember.
But, because there was a different Hutt at the beginning, during Phantom Menace, that was there during the pod race. But, like, Hutts are just basically crime lords across the galaxy.
Yeah.
Like, every planet has the Hutt running, like, a crime syndicate somewhere.
Yeah.
But I guess we're going to be wrapping up with your Godzilla versus Hedorah?
Hedorah. I believe we spelled it right. I spelled it phonetically, but
I actually think it's might not. Spelled differently, because when I right-click on it, it's H-E-D-O-R-A-H, which definitely looks a little more in line with those.
Yeah. So it's Godzilla versus Hedorah. It is the first Godzilla movie made in the 70s. So, All Monsters Attack, which is a movie I'm not going to be able to find, is because it's not in any, it's not on HBO Max, it's not online anywhere. Made in 1969. Again, that movie doesn't really matter. It takes place all in a kid's head. It's really bad.
So, I have one quick question for you before you really get into it. Is Hedorah somehow related to Ghidorah?
No. Okay. No. So Hedorah is, let's see if it explains where Hedorah comes from in the wiki real quick. No, they don't explain the
Oh, he looks like a Cthulhu.
So he is a sludge monster. This is the most 70s movie I've ever seen.
He is a smog monster, thank you very much.
Smog, sludge, all the same. Like, he's, like, well, it's not all the same, but, like, he turns he comes from, like, sludge in the ocean. He starts off as a, like a little tadpole and comes from sludge in the ocean and then inhales, like, the smog coming from factories and such. Like, he turns into a spaceship and the fumes he exhausts as a spaceship are acidic and just turn people to bone.
Yeah, so
as he flies over them.
So the Wikipedia for him has him listed as a smog monster or pollutant monster is his species. Mm-hmm. But then it does go on to say the monster was named Hidoro, the Japanese word for sludge, slime, vomit.
Yeah. And so, again, most 70s movie I've ever seen, it starts off with a woman singing basically the theme of the movie while they're rolling the credits. Because as we discussed last week, at least in Godzilla movies, credits roll first. At least in potentially in Japanese movies in general, credits roll first. If I remember correctly, a lot of, like, Miyazaki and Ghibli movies have the credits rolling first as well. So it might be a Japanese.
Also, Drew just shared a link to the Criterion channel, where for $11, you can get a month subscription and watch this movie.
They have a free trial to watch All Monsters Attack. So there you go.
I don't want to watch that one.
Well, really, it's a free trial. You have to.
It's free. You have to.
Also, look, if you're interested, $157.46, Godzilla, the Showa-era films, 1954 through 1975, Blu-ray box set, 8 discs.
I don't need that because I have HBO. If they ever come off of HBO, then maybe I'll get it, but I don't need it right now. I'll read the... they don't have a quick
honestly,
synopsis.
Honestly, you should get this just because, like, the box set actually looks pretty fucking cool.
I'm sure it does. So, All Monsters Attack, I can't give you, like, the quick synopsis. But Ichiro Miki is a highly imaginative but lonely latchkey kid growing up in urban and polluted Kawasaki. Every day he comes to his family home to his family's empty apartment. His only friends are toy maker named Shinpei Inami and a young girl named Sachiko. Every day after school, Ichiro is tormented by a gang of bullies led by a child named Senko Gabura. To escape his loneliness, Ichiro sleeps and dreams about visiting Monster Island. During his visit, he witnesses Godzilla battle 3 Kamikuras Ebera, a giant sea monster. Ichiro, then chased by a rogue Kamikuras, falls into a deep cave, but luckily avoids being caught by Kamikuras. Shortly afterwards, Ichiro is rescued in the cave by Manila, Godzilla's son. Ichiro quickly learns that Manila has bully problems too, and is bullied by monstrous ogre known as Gabura. I'm not gonna read the rest of it. The whole movie takes place in his head. It doesn't matter. I don't wanna watch it.
That's fair.
Yeah, it is just, it's not a good movie.
Man, but if you read the, how the Criterion Collection site has the synopsis, it makes it sound like a cute little story.
the kid becomes a friend with Manila, and, like, Manila can actually talk. It's weird. I've seen bits and pieces of it when I was younger.
I'm just saying, man, it's $10. Or free. But there's a free trial.
I might look into that to see if it has, further monster movies, because the Heisei era, because the Showa era is what I'm about to finish, or almost done. I need the Heisei era, which is 84 to 95, Millennium era, which is 99 to 2004. Like, those aren't available on HBO. So it's just the Showa that's available on HBO right now.
Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. You're not doing anything on Christmas. Perfect time to watch All Monsters Attack.
I want to have a good Christmas.
So you watch the Pixar and Wonder Woman movies with All Monsters Attack in between?
I don't know, maybe, but probably not. Anyway, back to Hidora. The movie opens with a 70s song being played and singing, and it's just weird. It is straight up a save the environment movie. Like, a lot of Godzilla movies have this undertone of, like, save the planet type of thing. This is very strong save the planet. Godzilla, the soundtrack for the movie isn't good. They changed his main theme, so, like, anytime he's on screen, it just does this weird wah-wah noise, but it's like, I liken it to, like, the fat guy tuba, boom, ba-da-da-da-dum, ba-da-da-da-dum noise.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not, it's kind of annoying, and, like, I hate they changed his soundtrack. But it is just, like, the kid in this movie, who, is the son of a scientist, what is the kid's name? Does it say, I can't find the kid's name. Ken Yano. He's like, less, maybe about 10 years old. Somehow has a psychic connection with Godzilla. So anytime Godzilla's coming, he's like, oh my god, Godzilla just told me psychically that he's coming, which means Hedorah's here. We need to go run and hide. Hedorah evolves from a little tadpole to, like, this sludge monster that you see. At one point, he's like a frog. And because he's, like, an amorphous goop, he doesn't feel pain, so Godzilla's atomic breath does nothing to him. And the way they kill him is they put together two, or not together, but they get two metal plates that are very conductive with electricity and just shock him with electricity.
Well, that's really one way bad to handle that.
Yeah, but something happens to the electric plates and they don't get power. So instead, Godzilla breathes his atomic breath onto the electric plates, and then the electric plates shoot electricity between each other. I don't know. It's weird. But at one point, while they're trying to kill him with these plates, Hedorah turns into his spaceship self and starts to fly away. And this is when you find out, guys, did you know Godzilla can fly?
I did not.
I don't think I did either.
So if Godzilla uses his atomic breath and jumps, he can fly backwards.
I mean, that's not that's fucking Buzz Lightyear falling with style.
So, well, no, he actually doesn't have to jump. He just uses his atomic breath, and he eventually starts to lift off, and then he curls up kind of like a shrimp and flies backwards.
Yeah, so I mean the two analogies there is he's Buzz Lightyear or he's Siren from the X-Men or Banshee. Yeah. I'm sorry, Siren's Banshee. I meant Banshee. Siren is his daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Banshee, like, yeah, that's how Banshee flies. He fucking screams at the ground, and it makes him fly.
Yeah, so that's, Godzilla does that. This is the first time you find it out, and I believe he does it several times from here till the end of this series. I think, if I remember correctly, pretty soon he starts to talk.
Oh god.
I think in, like, a movie or two, he starts to talk, or it might not be until the next era. I'm not sure.
I know you're coming up on Mechagodzilla soon.
Mechagodzilla are the last, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla and Terror of Mechagodzilla are the last two films in the Showa era. So it's, Gigan, Megalon, which I'm super excited for Megalon, because it's got Jet Jaguar in it. And Jet Jaguar is basically Ultraman, but he's a robot, and can shrink and grow. And then you got Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla and Terror of Mechagodzilla. But this is just, this movie was weird. They changed the soundtrack. It was super, super 70s. And, like, at one point, like, they just have Godzilla walking through the set, and it's, like, it's like that, like, Dawn era where it's, like, the orange sky, and, like, it kind of felt like it was supposed to be kind of surfer-ish. At one point, they just have people dancing in a field during this attack from Hedorah. I might have fallen asleep at one point because it was just showing images of, like, creepy old people's faces, and I don't know what they were for. It's just, like, some of it was just so weird. Like, real early on, the professor, the scientist, Dr. Yano, who is Ken's father, I believe, he is swimming in the ocean and gets attacked by Hedorah, and half of his face gets, like, kind of acided. And so, like, it doesn't melt off, but it's, like, it's all gross. So they cover his face. And there's times throughout the movie where he's absolutely fine, just has these wrappings on his face. And then near the end, it's like, they're yelling at him, no, you're weak, you have to stay in bed. So when he needed to go help with the electric plates, they loaded up his bed inside their car, and his wife drove him there, opened up the back trunk of the car, and he's sitting there in bed, leaning out of his car. And it's just like, I'm like, this, what, that makes no sense. It doesn't, but it's, like, ridiculous. Like, this is, a friend of mine had commented, because I post this on Facebook every time I watch him, he's like, it's his all-time favorite Godzilla, and I turn it, like, I'm gonna be totally honest, it is definitely not the worst, but it is not my favorite. Like, after doing this marathon, there are better Godzilla movies, and this is not, It's good, but it's weird good.
It's not Godzilla versus King Kong bad, though.
No, it is definitely not Godzilla versus King Kong bad. It is not Godzilla versus Ebra Horror of the Deep bad. It is it is on the same level of Son of Godzilla, where Son of Godzilla wasn't bad, but it just was different, and it was a lot different. And that's how this was. Like, all the rest of them were good, and they had good encounters between the monsters, whereas Son of Godzilla was just kind of weird, and it's the same as this one. Like, Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, just, they wanted to push the whole save the environment aspect. It's the 70s. What do you expect? It was weird and kind of awkward. And, like, Ghidorah is a monster that's ever going to appear ever again. And I'm looking through the wiki, it doesn't look like Ghidorah ever shows up again. Not even in Godzilla Final Wars.
Oh, okay.
Which, Final Wars is the one where he fights all of his past, monster enemies, including Zilla from the, 1998 American Godzilla film.
Right, you've talked about that one before.
Yeah, it's probably, after I get done this original era, if I can't find any of the others, it's gonna be the next one I watch. Because from this point on, I'm gonna have to start paying to watch them. So, like, I might pick and choose a little bit more. I don't know, I haven't decided yet.
I mean, that's understandable, depending on how much you have to pay to watch them.
Yeah, like, I mean, if it's just a $4 rental fee each week, then I'll probably just continue through. But if it starts to get more expensive or I have to buy it, I might skip over it because I'm gonna hate them, not saying it's not gonna be worth it, but I might want to check reviews to see if it's worth watching or not.
Yeah, that's understandable, I think.
Yeah. So the next one is Godzilla vs. Gigan, which I believe in this one, the suit starts to fall apart while he's fighting Gigan.
Nice.
So I'm excited to see that. And then Godzilla vs. Megalon, which I said I've been looking forward to because it's got Jet Jaguar. And then it's the last two in the era, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla. So we've got at least a month left of Godzilla, guys.
Yeah, I was just looking at, like, the thing. There's a 10-year gap between movies coming up.
Yeah.
After the Mechagodzilla movies, it's 75 to 84 before, the next Godzilla movie.
Yeah, they took time off. I mean, they might not have been getting, like, the reception that they did back early on, and they do get a lot more ridiculous. But then, like, you get the return of Godzilla, which there is a monster in there, which is, Shakiris, giant sea lice. And then, Biollante, which is one I really want to watch. And then, King Ghidorah, which is the first time you see Mecha Ghidorah. And that's not until 91, which is nuts. Mothra, and then another Mechagodzilla, and then Space Godzilla, which is what I want to watch, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
And then Destoroyah, which is, Destoroyah is supposed to be, like, Godzilla's strongest villain ever, and so I've never seen that one, I want to watch that one as well. So, like, there are a few that I'm definitely going to watch, after I'm done Terror of Mechagodzilla, but, I haven't decided fully how I'm gonna do that yet. But yeah, if you want to save the planet, watch Godzilla vs. Ghidorah. It's so weird, and it'll make you want to save the planet from sludge.
All right, then. That's probably it, unless either you guys have anything else?
Nope.
No. I mean, I had something I thought about, but I kind of closed everything. Have you guys heard of the hashtag Free Melee?
No. Oh, is this about, like, the Melee, Smash Melee tournament that got canceled?
Yeah, so I don't think we ever covered this. There was a Melee tournament that got a cease and desist from Nintendo about a month or two ago, because they were using the way they were doing the online usage of it was basically modding the game, and so Nintendo was, like, sponsoring it until they found out that they were using Slippy, I think is what it was called, and they're like, oh, we don't condone modding, so cancel this tournament. And so, like, I've seen it during any of the Nintendo, like, streams that they've done, like, when they talked about, Super Nintendo Land, which I'm surprised we didn't talk about on this.
I mean, I don't think any of us really care. It's a park we'll never go to.
I watched it, because it looked amazing. It's, like, and even during the Nindies, like, it was just hashtag Free Melee. And yeah, apparently, like, this company, the people, the Melee, fan base are really upset because they stopped the tournament for a game that's 15 years old or whatever.
It's like 20 years old. It came out in like 2001.
I don't know.
And it's on a platform that didn't support online play, so it's completely within Nintendo's right to say, yeah, sorry, no, that's against terms of service.
I mean, sure. At the same time, like, I kind of feel for the people that are like, look, we're in the middle of a pandemic, let people have their fun by having their tournaments the way they can. But my other argument is, Melee is not the best fucking Smash Bros. Game.
It is.
Tell that to the Smash Brothers community.
Yeah, the only game the Smash Brothers community wants to play is Melee. They don't want to play Brawl or the Wii U one or Ultimate.
And it blows my mind. Like, I will admit that using the GameCube controller is more comfortable to me, but that's because I've always used a GameCube controller because I've always had access to one. But, like, I personally don't think Melee is the best.
But you're also not a hardcore Smash Brothers player.
Yeah, I'm not a hardcore Smash Brothers player. I'm also not a hardcore Smash Brothers player who's been playing Melee nonstop since the game came out. I upgrade to the new ones, and I focus on the new ones.
And to be fair, like the way that they play in Torrents 2 isn't fun. It's one-on-one. It's no items. Like,
yeah.
They basically make it a fighting game.
The Melee tournaments are, one-on-one, no items. But, like, the Nintendo, when they did their Ultimate tournaments, they started allowing items. And items have been starting to be allowed in modern, current Smash games.
That's when
Smash tournaments.
That is when Nintendo is doing them. When it's a community-based tournament, or a an Evo, or what's the other one, Drew? The one in Florida?
CEO.
Thank you. I'm like, it's not CES, that's the tech show. those ones are the ones with the very die-hard fighting game community that play the one-on-one no items.
Yeah.
Because they're also the ones where, like, nothing but Melee gets actual stage time. All the other Smashes are regulated to, like, little corners.
Yeah, which, like, I hate that, like, I don't hate that Melee's so big 20 years later, but I hate that Melee's so big just because, like, the reason they keep coming out with new games, besides the fact that the original ones couldn't get DLC characters, is because they keep making updates and making, in my opinion, the game better. Like, I've seen, if I go back to play Melee and then I play Ultimate, I'll be, like, they're two completely different games and, like, kind of battle style, at least with each of the characters that are in both of them. And I'm just like, I don't get the love for Melee. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it before, like, I don't think the Smash franchise is good, so I also don't get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think Nintendo's completely within their rights to do that, like,
yeah,
especially if they were sponsoring.
Yeah, from what I heard, they were sponsoring it, like, and like I said, I totally agree, and Nintendo's in their rights to do that, but I also, at the same time, I agree with everyone, like, hey, look, we're in the middle of hard times, and we can't actually meet in person to play this, so maybe just let us do it this way, but, like, you mod it, you use this mod service to be able to play the game multiplayer online, and then, like, there might be an issue in with the service where, like, maybe Mewtwo is modded to be just a little bit stronger than he should be, and you have the unfair advantages and shit like that. Like, there is a stepping stone of, like, alright, if you're not playing the base game and you're playing a mod, it shouldn't be used in tournament play.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently there's, like, a free Splatoon now because people are mad that Splatoon 2 hasn't gotten updates since its last update in 2019.
People are just stupid. I hate the internet.
Yeah, the internet's the worst.
And with that, I'm going to wrap up this internet show that we do. If you would like to find more of our content, you can head over to www.one-quest.com. You can also help us by supporting us at patreon.com/onequest. If you can't support us there with dollars, you can always help us out by going to your favorite podcast platform, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us. Those things all help a whole lot. You can also find us on social media, facebook.com/onequestonline or @one_quest on Instagram and Twitter. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/onequestvideo, and you can send us emails to social@one-quest.com. And we'll be back next week with our favorite things of 2020, if we can find them. Have a good holiday, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye.